Terrible things. I'm Laura, a psychology and horror addict who loves discussing the worst people in history.
And I'm Amanda, a licensed psychologist who enjoys studying the worst of humanity. So before I get started with the main story for today's episode, the main event, and I like to call this Entanglement, Hitler edition. there was a news article that popped up in, it's probably my Instagram feed. That's like all I do lately. And the title.
Social media for the win.
Pretty much keeping me smiling and feeling slightly better about myself during the day. But the headline that I saw was police seize 345,000 used condoms that were cleaned and sold as new.
What?
Yes.
You gotta be fucking shitting me. How do you take a used condom? Okay, first of all, let's start with the basics. How do you clean a used condom?
Well, that is explained here.
Really?
But I want to know where they got, I want to know how they got used condoms. Yes.
Because for me, you'd have to dig those out of a trash, right? Because that's exactly where they go.
Trash. And then I think some people try to flush them down the toilet, which is
Stupid. Don't do that.
Stupid and wonderful for the environment, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it's also great for your plumber who has to fish fucking used condoms.
You've got like condoms and tampons and
maybe
like,
just dispose of them properly and don't flush them in the toilet.
Don't flush them.
Like, who collected them? They still have sperm in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
this, other bodily fluids. Because who knows?
Because on the outside, so like you've
who
got
knows if
sperm
this was
on the inside and whatever else
for
on the outside.
Vaginal intercourse.
Yeah.
So they're gonna be all kinds of shit, literal shit.
Not to mention, that is so incredibly unsafe.
Yes.
Because, like, the whole point of condoms, the whole reason for condoms, one, prevent, like, pregnancy. Cool. Two, prevent STDs and illnesses. And if you're using or reusing used condoms, I don't know that you could ever perfectly sterilize that.
Well, and it seems like the integrity of the condom would be compromised after both and then cleaning.
They're supposed to be disposable. That's the whole point of a condom.
Well, and they break sometimes, and that's why people freak out, and we have these movies about like, oh my God, I'm pregnant because the condom broke, which can happen.
Well, yeah, sure, totally. But like, I for sure want to know what's the process for cleaning the condom, because this, like, depending on what that is, it's going to seriously damage like a condom.
Here we go. So I'll give you a little bit more on the story, and it's going to talk about that. So this was in Vietnam. Police in Vietnam confiscated these condoms, and the contraceptives were scattered. They were just found scattered across the floor of a warehouse in the southern province. And I can't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. This is in Vietnam.
Okay.
And the owner of the warehouse said that they had received a monthly input of used condoms from an quote-unquote unknown person.
How many condoms did you say there were?
So the bags weighed 360 kilograms. Jesus and this was determined to be equivalent to 345,000 condoms. And this is a report by CNN. And
so we're getting these condoms from one person?
One source is what this warehouse owner is claiming, where all the used condoms were found just strewn across the floor.
Impossible.
And then they're impossible, but then it makes me think about like human trafficking.
I'm thinking
escort
brothels,
service, brothels. Escort. Yes.
Yeah.
Like maybe in that case, but.
Yeah. Maybe it's the one person owns a brothel or something.
Yeah.
There's no way that one person has collected 350,000.
It's the madam. She just goes around just ripping condoms off of the guys when they're done. Just give me your condoms.
Give me your condoms. What? Oh my God.
So there was a woman that was detained during this arrest, and she told the police how they were cleaning the condoms.
Okay.
And so first they boil them in water.
Okay. They're plastic. That's also like, okay.
Yeah. Well, they dry them and reshape them on a wooden phallus, so a wooden-shaped penis, and then they repackage and resell them. So from what I'm hearing, they're only boiling these to clean them.
Okay, so that is not an acceptable means of sterilization. If you go to the doctor and they're like, yeah, we're using like reused needles, but we boiled them. No.
It's like Mother Teresa.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You cannot, these are just certain things that you cannot reuse.
Maybe it's one of the nuns from the Missionaries of Charity reselling the coin.
Maybe.
Or supplying them.
But like also you have to think that they're reshaping these on a wooden thing, and wood is notorious for absorbing germs, moisture, and everything else. You know what I mean? It's a porous substance.
Yeah.
That's awful.
It's disgusting.
And then they just repackage them and sell them like new condoms.
Yeah. So no one buying these is aware.
Right. I think that's the major problem there. It's like, I guess if you like labeled them as like
gently used.
Right. Nobody's going to buy them. Like, you know what I mean?
Like new or something. That bullshit.
Jeez. And it's probably just a ploy to save money.
Yeah.
Right. Because I mean, if you don't have to reproduce them.
It's got to be a money making venture to be doing this,
I guess. Or maybe there's a shortage on condoms and they're like, I guess we just gotta wash them and reuse it.
Doesn't sound like it if they're getting this many in a monthly shipment.
So I'm just picturing like a used condom full of semen just being dropped into a boiling pot of water.
They don't even like dump it out or rinse it out. It's just,
well, I mean, do you think they do?
Semen pot, semen water.
Yeah. So they're like, we're boiling it for safety in semen water.
I can't imagine being the person that has to clean the condoms and pick them up and touch them.
I don't even like use condoms that like have been used, like I have used.
Yeah.
Like it's gross. They're wet and they're gross.
Disgusting.
It's just nasty.
Yeah.
And then for them to be all over the floor of the warehouse.
Just like used condoms strewn. Oh, it's like banana peels. Like people are just slipping and falling all over these.
Yeah. What's OSHA have to say about this factory and their working
conditions?
Someone
needs to report this to OSHA because.
Jesus. Yes.
That is not something you want to fall on.
This is my issue with like humans are so greedy and shit like that they hardly ever think of the consequences of their actions. So they're like, oh, what? We just, you know, we washed them.
It'll be fine.
And you're like, no. You're going to have a whole bunch of dudes who have like staph infections on their dick.
Oh God, I hope this doesn't start some other super plague. Don't even get me started on that.
Right? Like we're already in a fucking pandemic. Could we not?
We've already got enough incurable diseases and STDs. Like,
it's going to be like,
we don't need you to be breeding even more in this warehouse in Vietnam.
It's going
to
be like a staph super bug STD that just like eats penises.
Maybe like super syphilis that comes back or something.
Oh yeah, that's all we need. Brain swelling. It's like, because people don't have enough problems. Yeah. We definitely need to inflate their brains and put pressure on their skulls.
We need that. But
well that's so disgusting.
Yeah, that's
is it bad that I'm happy that it wasn't happening in the U.S.? I was expecting you to say it was the U.S. I was like totally prepared. Yeah. Like, okay, cool. Florida. It's Florida, isn't it?
Always Florida with these kinds of stories. Florida. But no, it was Vietnam this time. But so I'm going to get to the actual story for today after that lovely little intro that has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about.
But it is an interesting news story.
It is. I was like, oh my God, we have to talk about this.
Plus it allowed us to use the words condoms and semen and syphilis.
And syphilis. I got to say syphilis again, our favorite STD. So I will be talking about people that were famous and ended up getting entangled with Nazi Germany. And how does the kind of the famous dad joke go? So Henry Ford, Coco Chanel, and Hugo Boss walk into a bar. And by bar, I mean Nazi rally. So these are the three people I'm going to be covering today.
That's interesting. I remember hearing about Henry Ford being quite racist.
Yes.
So that makes sense. Who were the other two you said?
Coco Chanel. So Chanel.
Okay, Chanel. The
perfumer, the designer. And then Hugo Boss, another designer.
Hugo Boss.
He was German, too, so.
Okay, well.
Yeah. At least he's got that excuse.
I'm interested in, Henry Ford is from the U.S., right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Born and bred.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm interested to hear how these people got introduced and involved
Ooh.
And also how they didn't get charged with, like, anything afterwards.
Yeah.
Because, like, a lot of people went down for war crimes and for just being involved at all.
Yeah. They got, some of them got their comeuppance a little bit, but.
I love a good comeuppance story.
Probably not quite to the degree they deserve. So all jokes aside, it seems there were some prominent figures in history that could be described as having had a love affair of sorts with Hitler and Nazi Germany.
Okay.
Now, when I think of Hitler, you know, I think of maniacal, narcissistic, doped up, crazy town.
Yeah.
Among other adjectives and expletives. But it seems like not everyone experienced the same sort of repulsion and mouth vomit that the rest of us experience when we hear a reference to Mein Kampf or ethnic cleansing.
And just the name Hitler, like.
Yeah.
And also, like, Adolf was a pretty common name in Germany and stuff like that. And I don't think it's so common anymore because it is so.
Yes.
Just like Adolf Hitler. Like, it's just.
I want to say there was a couple that wanted to name their baby Adolf Hitler here in the U.S.
I think so. Didn't the, I think the authorities told them they couldn't, which is hilarious to me when, like, they're like, no.
Yeah.
Like, your baby naming is so stupid that we will not allow this citizen to have this name.
Yeah. We're not going to let you ruin this kid's life. We're sorry.
Yeah. There are certain names, like Stalin, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Fidel Castro, like, just. Maybe don't name your baby after a dictator.
Maybe don't do that. So like I was saying, Coco Chanel, Hugo Boss, and Henry Ford seem to be in an entanglement of sorts with the good old genocidal dictator, Adolf Hitler. Mm-hmm. And one of these wonderful balls of Nazi sympathizer sunshine was even a sort of inspiration to Hitler's utopian Village of the Damned society.
Mm.
So.
Great. Now, are any of these people still living?
I don't know.
I'll look it up while you're going. I don't think Henry Ford's still living. Coco Chanel.
It's possible that Hugo Boss is, or Coco Chanel, she might be. But so Henry Ford, and I decided to give him the nickname Henry Jew Hater Ford, is a name that is probably familiar to anyone who took a U.S. history class or two in grade school. And he is the founder of Ford Motors and also is credited with developing the assembly line. So that form of mass production.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he spearheaded that.
He changed the way that automobiles were produced.
Yeah, he did. So he's left a pretty significant, important legacy. But what you may or may not realize or have been taught in our super accurate and in no way, shape, or form biased history lessons is that Henry Ford hated, and I mean he hated, the Jewish population.
A product of his times, no doubt. I just look it up. He died in 1947. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So he died, man, right?
Right as
the war was ending?
I think so. I'm very bad with history.
Did it end in 1947?
Oh, no.
I am too.
I'm bad with dates and stuff. No.
I don't know when D-Day was anymore. So Henry Ford even went so far as to take over the publishing rights for a local newspaper. And this was the Dearborn Independent.
Okay.
And it seems like the primary goal he had for doing this was spreading his anti-Semitic views.
Ah, okay. So he's like, I'm going to buy a newspaper so I can tell everybody how terrible Jews are.
About these awful Jews and their awful interest rates on home loans. So he was very upset with them in terms of what he saw as their control of the banking industry. So it's a lot of.
It's always been a thing. Like, it's such a stereotype too. Yes. With like, oh, Jews are good with money. Like, man, shut up. Like, I know that stereotypes are born out of like coincidences and stuff, but
yeah,
you can't just group a whole fucking race of people
no.
into one group and be like, they're all good with money. I'm pretty sure, you know, even the Jews have homeless people and stuff, you know what I mean? So
absolutely. And people that have, what do you call it, dyscalculia.
Is that why they can't do math?
Or, I don't know, it's math. Yeah. Learning disability. Yeah. In this paper, which was based out of Dearborn, Michigan, Ford was free to bash the Jewish people for their supposed contributions to all things evil and disliked by Mr. Jew Hater himself. And he owned the paper for longer than this, but it seems like the bulk of these kinds of columns that he put in there were from 1920 to 1922.
Okay.
So he predates Hitler.
Okay.
he ended up regularly publishing a front page column, which he entitled The International Jew, The World's Problem. And it basically was claiming that Jewish people were hell-bent on achieving world domination.
Which is funny to me, because you know who was hell-bent on achieving world domination? Hitler.
Hitler.
And also, I believe, if I'm not incorrect, Hitler's mother was Jewish.
She may have been. I don't remember.
I think someone in his family was Jewish. And
I'm sure.
By the way, it works, like, if your parents are you're Jewish. I know it's more than just a religion. It's like an entire race of, you know, of people, Ashkenazi Jews. Like, that's that's actually like a genetic marker.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind. It really, really does. I will never understand how people can just like blame an entire society and then completely just overlook like Hitler and his world domination. Like, how do you not see, like, you're blaming these people for world domination, and this dude is literally trying to achieve world domination, and you're like, yeah, go Hitler.
Yeah, no. Well, so Ford, you know, is kind of predating Hitler, but he ends up being a huge inspiration.
To Hitler?
To Adolf. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so Ford is inspiring Hitler, which is something I didn't realize. But I wanted to give you a little quiz to see how well you paid attention in history class.
Oh, I hate you.
So what evils of the world did Ford accuse the Jews of having a hand in? And I'm going to give you some options.
Okay, I was like, man, please don't make me just name random historical events. They're going to be all out of sorts. Yeah.
So A, short skirts. B, World War One. C, jazz music, and then D, high interest rates on home loans.
There's only one correct answer?
Maybe.
You didn't give me a chance for all of the above. It's going all of the above.
Okay. It's not all of the, well, damn. So it's not all of the above, but it is A, B, and C. Short skirts, World War One, and jazz music.
It's not even the home loans. You're blaming them about being like, oh, people with banks or money.
I came up with that one from like other shit I've heard about. Short skirts. The whole banking kind of side of things. So it's possible he hated them for that reason too.
But. And you know what's really funny to me is that like he hates these people because like banking and stuff like that. Dude is rich.
Yeah.
Like, why are you so mad?
He shouldn't be having any money problems.
Exactly.
As far as I could tell. So Mr. Jew-hater Ford ends up issuing a formal apology in 1927 for his articles and his outspoken tirade against the Jewish community. But like I said, a certain future Führer had taken notice and decided he liked what he was reading. And that person was the very stable genius of Germany, Mr. Adolphus Hitler.
Oh, is it really? Is it Adolphus? I didn't know that.
It's Adolphus. Hmm. Yeah. So I didn't realize that either.
Adolf for short.
Yeah. Little Adolf, little Hitler. For a little more perspective, he would have been around 29 or 30 years old when these articles were being published.
Okay, so this is before. So I just looked at World War II, and it was from September 1939 to September 1945.
45, okay, yeah.
So Ford died 2 years after the war ended.
Yep.
And which means that while Hitler is being influenced by Ford before he ever even...
Yeah, comes to power.
Really, like really, gained steam and stuff. Interesting.
Well, and so there's a little fun fact about Adolphus. He was extremely flatulent and had difficulty controlling gas.
Really?
Yes. So this may have contributed to his fragile ego and need for world domination, but that's a story for another time. And it's actually a story you can hear more about on this other podcast that is titled Behind the Bastards.
Okay.
So they cover bastards.
Similar stuff to what we do.
Yeah, some similar stuff probably. And there is one episode about Hitler's flatulence.
That's hilarious.
Pretty hilarious. Getting back to Ford, it was reported that Hitler kept a photo of Ford at his desk and referred to him as an inspiration.
Oh, he loved him.
He was fangirling.
Ford.
Yeah, he was fangirling over Mr. Ford. So
had a picture of this motherfucker on his desk.
Yep.
That's hilarious. Job. Like, what?
Mm. Good job.
Just so he could look at Ford every day and be like, that man. That man knows what he's talking about.
He knows about the evil of the Jews.
The Jews. Jesus.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, And like you've probably all already guessed from the lead into this episode, it appears that Mr. Jew Hater Ford isn't the only shameful figure in this story of Nazi entanglement. Another name you may all recognize is Coco Chanel, the famous perfumer, designer, and also apparent Nazi sympathizer and spy.
Spy?
Spy.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So according to documents obtained by the French ministry, Chanel was romantically involved with a man named, and he was a baron, Baron Hans Gunther von Dinklage, who was a noted Nazi propagandist and a suspected agent of the Third Reich. So another spy.
Okay.
And this affiliation does seem like it went further than just them having their sexy nights in swanky Parisian hotels. So it's believed that Chanel herself worked as a Nazi spy under the code name Westminster and was involved in a mission that was titled Modelhut, which translates to model hat in English. So pretty appropriate with her designer background. Mm-hmm. And the Nazi puppet master, Heinrich Himmler himself, was noted to be the mastermind behind this mission, in which Chanel was to deliver a letter to her good pal, Winston Churchill, asking him to cease his opposition to Nazi forces.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, Winston Churchill also has a bit of a sordid history. However, he was pivotal in ending the war.
Absolutely. And I think in getting the American forces to...
like to go,
join up and...
He did a lot. He did a lot. I can't speak exactly to what he did, but I know that he was very influential in the times for going against Nazi Germany.
Yeah. And so either this mission didn't happen or Winston Churchill... I guess, ignored the request from Chanel. But these claims of Miss Chanel's affiliation with Nazi Germany are, of course, being downplayed by the Chanel company.
Well, of course. It's such a stigma. It was such a major historical event, and it was such a genocide of a race of people.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, nobody wants to be affiliated with that.
Yeah.
Like, that's why people hide their Nazi flags in the basement and stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People keep that under wraps if they do support that because they don't want to be. And for a major, major brand like that to like have the stigma of being tied to, you know, the Nazi Reich, like, yeah, that's that's pretty bad.
That might alienate you from a lot of people.
Also, quick note about Coco Chanel. She died in 1971.
Okay.
So she died far after the war. She was born in 1883.
Oh, wow. Wow. So she was
she lived almost to be 100
something 80 something.
I don't know.
I can't do that.
Also, Hugo Boss died in 1948.
Dang. Okay, so
a couple years after the war as well.
Well, so the way that the Chanel company downplays and says that she couldn't have been involved, their excuse is she kept many Jewish friends before and after the war.
Yeah. You would, too, if you were trying to hide the fact that you were a Nazi spy, because if the American government had found out that she was indeed a Nazi spy, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to say that.
Well, and it reminds me of the bullshit answer people give when they're being accused of being racist, of saying, I have black friends. I'm not racist.
Yeah, that's
I can't
exactly,
be racist.
Yeah. I know black people. I've talked to black people and you're like, that doesn't mean that you're not
racist.
That's
not how that works.
Like, unfortunately, racist is like a state of mind, not so much a like political, like.
Yeah, social.
It's not like I'm Republican, I'm Democrat, I'm racist. Like it's not something that people are like, yeah, I'm totally racist. Everybody's going to say they're not racist.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless they're a white supremacist or some other hate.
Well, you know, those are like the outliers of, you know, the people who burn crosses on people's yards and stuff.
But I wonder if they would even use the term racist or if they would still find some way to like try to weasel out of that.
Well, I'm sure they do because like they have major flack these days for, you know, being white supremacist because it's an incredibly outdated state of mind.
Yeah. And yet seems to be growing.
Yep.
So... enough about Chanel and her stinky perfume. I can't stand like that Chanel number 5 smell.
I'm not a name brand person. So like none of like, I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Chanel. I don't like to pay a lot of money for things. So I'll just take the off brand stuff. Thanks.
So something I was particularly intrigued about was, you know, who designed those swanky Nazi uniforms?
Oh no.
Yes. The answer to that is Mr. Hugo Boss.
Okay. So it's interesting to me that they had two fashion designers who were like, yeah, I'll help.
I know. Well, and there are so many more people. Like if you...
Oh, I'm sure.
If you look and just try to find out who all was involved and...
There are many.
Supported the group. Yeah. Yeah, there's a shit ton. So... As I said, Mr. Boss was born in Germany in 1885 as Hugo Ferdinand Boss, and he would go on to create a fashion empire that is still successful today. And so while all of that may be old news, what might be new news for all of you is that Mr. Boss was an active member of the Nazi Party. So not just supporter, not just making the uniform.
Well, he is confirmed.
A member.
Yeah.
In 1931.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this show of support, like I said, would include producing uniforms for the Nazis. And this included its paramilitary troops, the armed forces, and Hitler's lovely little youth program.
Well, at least they had nice uniforms. I mean, it doesn't surprise me because, I mean, most people, I think, either fell in line to, you know, what was going on or
yeah,
had to. And then there were other people who were like, "Woo, yeah, support. I love this.
I love Hitler."
So it doesn't surprise me to hear that he was involved. But yeah. Like, dude, it's ridiculous.
Oh, and it gets worse with him. So in 1940, the Hugo Boss company even started using captives of the concentration camps as slave labor to produce Nazi uniforms because demand was continuing to grow.
Of course they did. Of course they did. They used people who were, you know, in concentration camps to perform medical experiments on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of medical things that are present today were discovered during Nazi Germany because they had no care for ethics or anything else. So, you know, a lot of stuff happened, like slave labor to cutting up people, experimenting on twins.
Yeah.
And things like that. So
that's a good point. I guess maybe the guy that's getting taken away for the medical experiments is looking at his buddy who's knitting uniforms and like,
make uniforms.
You got it made, buddy. It's like,
yeah.
Living the high life in the concentration camp.
Like it doesn't surprise me at all that they used, I mean, they had so many forces too that the demand for uniforms had to be insane.
Ridiculous. So you might be wondering what the fate of these poor laborers and prisoners was at the end of their time working in the factories. And so Laura, it's time for another pop quiz. So once the Hugo Boss factory slave laborers had spent enough time working for the company, what were their fates? Was it A, trips to Disney World?
I better know.
B, a solid pension and severance package. C, death from being overworked. D, a one-way ticket to Auschwitz or Buchenwald where they would be killed. Or E, C and D.
E.
Yep.
Yeah. They 100% just killed them.
So yeah, so they either died from being overworked or they were going to be killed by being sent to the two, I don't know, worst camps or most notorious death camps.
Yet again, yes, that's true. Yeah. But also, yet again, doesn't surprise me because like there's no freaking way that they would let these people go after what they did to them.
Yeah, no. Did anyone get let go from a concentration camp or did the war just end?
I think it's a mix of like, because I know like some concentration camps were liberated.
Yeah.
So that's how we have, you know, people who survived and have the tattoos on their arms with the numbers and things like that. So some were liberated, but I think like a majority, very few, survived or escaped from concentration camps.
No.
And some concentration camps were more like hell-bent on like killing people than others. Others were more focused on like labor.
Yeah, depending on who was working there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yes, exactly. Some of the high up officials in the Reich were very like sadistic and stuff. So yeah.
Yep.
I don't think many made it at all.
Well, that's like when you were talking about the human experiments. I think the guy's name was Joseph Mengele.
Something like that.
Was one of the main ones with doing the experiments. And Himmler was crazy. He was crazy. Hitler was on like amphetamines or something, but
I feel like almost every like dictator or something you hear, but there's always like a freaking drug problem. Yeah. You know what I mean? Some kind of something that they were on.
Yeah.
That just kind of,
it's similar to the cults. True. It's similar to the cults we read about and study where there's someone that rises to power. People believe them.
Jim Jones.
And that person's fucking crazy and on pills or something.
Jim Jones had so much, I forget what drug was in his system, but so much that when they tested him, like, he was supposed to have been dead.
Yeah.
Anybody else with that amount would have been dead, but he had been abusing it for so long that he just built up tolerance. And that kind of shit messes with your brain. Oh, so you already have a crazy, racist, just shitty person, and then you pump them full of amphetamines?
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Just basically just energize him up and just let him go.
Well, so as a result of Hugo Boss's decisions and involvement with the Nazi Party, there was actually legal action taken.
Really?
Yeah, he was fined and he lost the right to operate any businesses. So he lost his company and it was taken over by his son-in-law. And then in 1999, the Hugo Boss Corporation began contributing to a fund that had been established to help compensate anyone who was a past forced laborer.
Good.
Now, I don't, there's like five people that survived it. I don't know, but.
Yeah, like the majority of them were killed. But
majority of these people are dead. It'd be great if it somehow helped their families, but I don't know how far it actually went with compensation.
Yeah. So. But I mean, at least, you know, they're not like, oh, he was never involved with the Reich. Like,
yeah,
no, he was involved. We're sorry. And we're going to try and help.
Yeah. We're going to try to do something to account for it. And
yeah, because it's not like the company was responsible.
No.
It was him.
Yeah.
But, you know. It's still associated. And
oh, yeah. It tarnishes the reputation. It just does.
For sure. He should have been killed. But, you know, I guess a fine and not being able to run any businesses is equivalent.
Yeah.
So stupid.
Impacting his livelihood, even though he's probably...
I'm sure he was fine.
Multi-billionaire billionaire.
Yeah.
So not too worried about his financial situation. But that's all I'm going to cover on the topic of garbage humans today. And this is, like I said, it's probably only like a tiny, tiny glimpse into the world of Nazi sympathizers and conspirators. So yeah, faith in humanity restored.
Great.
Yep.
Great. Yeah. I mean, you have to think back to the time. There were probably a lot of people involved who you don't even know about because we didn't say anything, but I can't imagine how many contributed or were complacent.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it was complacency.
Yep.
A lot of it was just, no, not our problem.
Well, yeah.
And it's like, it will be. It will be eventually. You might want to nip it in the bud now.
Could be. Well, especially the whole Aryan race thing just always gets me with him.
Especially because he brown-haired, brown-eyed, and he's like, only blonde-haired, blue-eyed people can be the best people. And I'm like, okay, so you're not?
Yeah. To me, it seems like that would have made people question his credibility from the get-go. But
he was a scary dude. He was a charismatic and scary dude.
And we've also seen how idiots that shouldn't be in positions of power can somehow maintain enough credibility to retain that power.
All it has to do is support. You know what I mean? If you can convince enough people to support your cause, it's almost like a virus that spreads. Same for cults and things like that. You have one person with an idea who finds like similar people who will support their idea, and then it just kind of grows from there. And then they had power, guns, and
military force,
violence, and they scared people into being either complacent or helping.
Yeah. You fall in line or you face the same consequences.
If you harbored Jews, you could be killed.
Yeah.
And that's how it blew like to so large. And then other countries didn't want to get involved because it's like a whole thing. But then look, we had to get involved anyway.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So maybe let's just get involved from the beginning when somebody's doing, you know, something that's genocidal or
fucking terrible things to other humans.
It's important for other humans. Like, we have to be responsible for the world, not just our country.
Sure. Well, we've got to figure something out when it comes to well-being and safety of other people. And if for no other reason, because we want that assistance as well if something ever happens.
Exactly. Exactly.
We want people to come help us, so we should help other people. But we should also just help them because it's the fucking right thing to do. So.
Yeah. And, you know, had we lost the war, this would have been a totally different world.
Yeah. Watch The Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime if you want a glimpse into it. I think they do a really good job with what that would look like if we had lost. And the Axis powers took over.
Yeah, because I mean, there's always the other side of the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah, we won the war and the Nazi campaign didn't spread further. But what if we hadn't?
Yeah.
You know, in some other reality somewhere, we didn't win the war, you know, and I can't imagine what that world would be like.
Oh, God. Well, and then like Handmaid's Tale, too, that I'm. We had to quit watching it. Like, we were watching it again.
I have never watched an episode because it is too real and it will make me very angry.
We got through the first two seasons. I think we're first season. We're on the second season, and I just, with everything just happening in the world recently, I was like, I can't.
It's depressing. Like, great show, but like,
yeah.
Ouch. Especially being a woman.
It's too heavy. I'm watching like Bob's Burgers constantly now.
Yeah,
just, like,
I want to be happy. Yeah. I want to laugh and not cry myself to sleep.
I want to laugh at Tina when she runs and holds her arm at her sides and makes weird noises like me.
Yeah. The Handmaid's Tale, I can't. I already like feel certain ways about things because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
But then, just to like see what already happens in daily life to a whole another level.
Yes.
It's uncomfortable. It's, you know, these are uncomfy things.
Yeah. Uncomfortable topics.
But I think shows like that are important. Because it does open up eyes. Because entertainment is a huge window to, like, people. You know, you have media and stuff like that. But I love movies or shows. I just finished watching Chernobyl.
Oh, yeah. The one on HBO, the Chernobyl Diaries or whatever. Yes. It's so good.
And it's I know a lot of stuff is exaggerated, obviously, because it's entertainment and things like that. But they stuck really close to, like, the story.
Yeah.
And it just kind of opened my eyes to, like, obviously, I know about Chernobyl, like, massive nuclear
fallout
and explosion and everything like that. But I didn't really know what had happened, like, in the Soviet Union and how Soviet government functioned.
Yeah.
Which is just a really good example of why that's a bad kind of government.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, shut up.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, the thing exploded. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. They call in scientists and engineers and they totally discredit them, which reminds me a lot of what's happening right now.
Many were like, they were literally discredited and like,
shut up.
Banned from being scientists.
Shut up.
Yeah. Shut up.
We don't want to hear it. And then this terrible disaster happens because they didn't listen.
But it happened, and then they still kept lying about it.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, the 3.6 rotogen when it was like 15,000. That's a huge difference.
Yep.
In
Tell
numbers.
Everybody they're safe and not to worry. It's so, to me, it's so paralleling what's happening right now.
Yeah. If the wind and shit hadn't carried that to other countries, they wouldn't have done anything about it.
Yeah.
They would have let people all around in different countries die of radiation poisoning because they just can't admit.
Deaths.
Like, can we just admit that we fucked up?
So people can protect themselves.
And it's still not safe. It won't be safe
for
hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Maybe not ever. You know what I mean? So I just.
Yeah, no.
We got to speak up. We have to, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth the risk.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched Chernobyl, I highly recommend it. Very depressing.
It's really good, though.
I don't cry at a lot of things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like being able to kind of see and feel history versus just reading about it. I've never really liked history class and stuff like that because to me, just reading about it, I'm like, okay, it sounds terrible, but I've never seen anything like that. I've never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
So to see it and just all the people who died and you know, babies who absorbed radiation, like instead of their mothers and crazy
oh,
things.
Yeah. It was nuts. It's really good, though.
Yeah, it is. It is very good. It's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah.
You will cry, though, and you'll be.
Yeah. So that's your list of things to do. Check out Behind the Bastards. Watch The Handmaid's Tale or don't. Check out Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle. Chernobyl.
And then Chernobyl. Diary.
So you can see what the negative effects a terrible government have on the world.
Yeah, yes.
And so maybe everybody vote.
Everyone vote.
Please vote.
Vote.
Yeah. And never stop voting.
Never stop. Never stop, never stopping.
I personally will be voting more in small elections than I ever have. Because I've never noticed. And now my eyes are open.
And it's scary.
Unfortunate. It is scary. Yeah.
Well, so thanks for tuning in, guys.
Yeah.
And we will be releasing more and more episodes. And check out our Patreon page.
Yep. Want to see Twitter, anything. Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
Hit us up. Let us know what you think, what you don't like, what you do like, preferably what you like.
Yeah.
Let's all be nice to each other on the internet.
There you go.
But yeah, if you like the show, let us know. Share it with your friends. We like doing it. Makes us happy.
Yeah.
So thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.